everybody. Welcome to Bestseller TV. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. We're here with Bonnie Harvey and Mike Houlihan. They are the authors of The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. It's good to have you with us again.
Thank you. Thank you. We're delighted to be here.
You were here for our inaugural season, season one. It was terrific, so it's so good to have repeat customers, as they say. We're going to get into the book in the moment, but you're here because now the book has been turned into an audiobook, and it's different like any other business audiobook on the market. But for anyone not familiar with the book in and of itself, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's the story of how Barefoot Wine was founded, which is really a unique story. Everyone has a unique story when they're founding a company, but we kind of fell into an opportunity. It wasn't our passion, wine, but we had an opportunity that we really couldn't pass up, and that was $300,000 that was owed to a grape grower that he couldn't collect from the winery.
Okay.
So Michael was able to collect trade, bottling services, and bulk wine. And so we took that, and we took the $300,000 debt, came up with a label, bottled it, and went out to sell it. We thought, how long could it take? How hard could it be?
And?
It was really hard.
And it took a long time.
Right.
And actually, the book is about the lessons that we learned the hard way.
Right.
Because most businesses are founded by founders like us who have preconceived, popularly misconceived notions about how business really works, you know, and then they find out when they get into it. And so this is a book about learning about business by actually doing it.
Right.
And so it's a great educational tool.
But you mentioned you weren't in the wine business prior, so this opportunity
right.
just kind of fell on your lap?
We were business consultants.
Okay.
And I had a client who was a grape grower, and I was taking care of his office, organizing his books and everything, and that's when I discovered he hadn't been paid for his grapes for 3 years.
Mm. Okay, so you said, I'm going to take this and run with it, and did you have any idea, looking back, you'd be here?
We thought that we would just, you know, plan A, right? We would bottle it up and sell it. Take the money
and run.
And be down the road, right?
After paying the grower back.
After paying the grower back, right. And, of course, you don't just do that. You get involved in the marketing. You get involved in the distribution. You get into personnel management. It goes on and on. So it's all the aspects of business, especially
any business, not just the wine
alcohol beverage, because it's so controlled.
Sure. Yeah. How long did it take you to sort of make it America's number one wine brand?
Oh, that took about 20 years.
Okay.
We thought it would take 3, maybe 4.
Yeah, we were only off
to
a factor of 5.
To succeed and to pay our grower back and move on.
Uh-huh.
A factor of 5.
Five
times longer than we thought.
What made you take the opportunity, though? I mean, opportunities present themselves all the time. You guys...
It was a big dollar amount. And if we didn't take it at that moment that it was offered, it was going away. That winery was going bankrupt.
Okay.
They'd already filed for bankruptcy. There was no money to collect.
Okay.
And the grower said, I have a full-time job as a winemaker. So he did give us his winemaking expertise. Plus, I've got a vineyard that I'm managing. So he gave us his grapes, fronted us his grapes. And he said, I can't take on another business. I guess I'll just have to take the loss. And we said, no.
No, right.
You can't do that. So, you know, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
We jumped in.
But you obviously did your homework. I mean, was it a calculated risk? Did you know you'd succeed? Or did you say, okay, if it doesn't work out, we understand it's a loss? Like, were you prepared for both outcomes?
No, we were only prepared for success.
Okay, good answer.
As you said, ignorance is bliss.
Right.
You know, we found out what was involved as we went about it. But probably if we had known what was involved, we probably wouldn't have done it.
Is that right?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, it was way more work than we thought. And it was a different kind of work than we thought.
How so?
Well, I mean, I was the president and CEO of the company, but I was down on my knees on the linoleum in Publix 365 in Tallahassee, Florida, with a pricing gun in my hand.
The supermarket.
Pulling
right.
my own wine out of boxes and pricing them because I knew that if it wasn't priced, it couldn't sell. And if it didn't sell, the big buyer in Lakeland would say Barefoot's not selling and discontinue it.
Wow. So the misconception is if a winery or any producer sells their product to a distributor, the distributor is going to do all that work. The distributor is going to sell it to the retailer, and if it sells, the retailer is going to replace the product on the shelf.
Right. Not the case.
No pun intended.
Well, you would think logically that if somebody had a financial investment in the product, it would be to their financial interest to price it and put it on the shelf.
Right.
You wouldn't think that they wouldn't do that.
Right. But I guess it's hard. You're relinquishing control. But clearly you're...
No, we had to take control.
You had to take control, is what I'm saying, based on this anecdote. Right.
Every aspect. Everyone that touched our product, we had to be there.
Right. Yeah. But it paid off, clearly.
Yes, it did.
And you're back because you've now turned the book into an audiobook.
Yes.
Audiobooks exist, but you guys are doing something very different. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, most audiobooks are read to you. This audiobook is performed for you. So you're not listening to someone droning the book in your ear. You're listening to 25 characters playing 130 different parts.
Right.
With scenes and outcomes and attitudes and voice intonations and sound effects and music.
Wow.
So you're actually, it's kind of like a 1945 radio theater. So it's much more engaging than just listening to a book.
Right.
Now you're in an audio theater. You're part of the action. Mm. And the idea here was that the best way to convey a business principle is through story. And the best way to convey story is through business theater.
Yeah.
So converting a business concept into a theatrical performance was the real challenge.
It's so cool. I mean, it's business audio theater. I was so excited to start reading about it, or listening about it, hearing about it.
There's nothing else like it.
So you have a full cast and crew. This is a production. This is a theater production, essentially. And I like, you know, you're not just hearing it, you're experiencing it.
Yes. So, 3D audio.
3D audio, right. You took the words out of my mouth. That's what it is. It's 3D audio. So how did this idea come about?
You know, we're speakers because after we built the brand and we sold it, we wrote the New York Times bestseller the last time we were here with you.
Right.
We had just got the New York Times bestseller in business. And so then we went on a speaking tour. We went all over the United States and we went around the world. We spoke at over 60 schools to teach entrepreneurship. About 4 years ago, we noticed that people were coming into the auditoriums with buds in their ears. And we said, well, what are you listening to? You know, is it rock? Is it hip hop? What is it? And they said, oh, no, I'm listening to War and Peace. Or another lady would say, oh, no, I'm listening to a podcast on how to improve my business.
Right.
And so we thought, well, gee, audiobooks, you know, they're really amazing. Because we used to have cassettes and then we had CDs. So audio's been around for a while, but now the MP3 format really makes it convenient because you can just have it on your phone.
And we wanted to get our message out to the greatest number of people.
Sure.
Because our story isn't just about wine, but it's about starting a business.
Right.
And it could be any business.
Yeah.
So in order to reach more people, we went where the people are, wearing the buds.
Right. But
audiobook.
you could have done a traditional audiobook, but you're not. I mean, this business audio theater.
We don't do anything traditionally.
That's
an interesting story because when we decided to do audiobook, we listened to a few. We listened to business audiobooks, and they were like, here's the 3 things you got to do, the 5 things to never do, the 28 things your customer wants from you, right? Prescriptive text, basically. And we thought, you know, this is single-dimensional, and they were all, like, read to you. And we thought, you know, if you really want to engage people, the new mobile generation, you've got to entertain them.
True.
They have to say, oh, this is fun. I can't wait, you know, for the next installment, you know, in this series. I've got to see if Michael and Bonnie are going to go to jail or if they're going to pay ridiculous taxes or they're going to get closed down. What's going to happen?
See? Yeah.
So kind of like a cliffhanger.
Right.
So we put this book together like that. And anybody who started any business will tell you that week by week, it's a cliffhanger, you know, for the first 2 or 3 years. While you're learning what you're doing and you're trying to overcome all the problems with personnel and finance. So we got this idea that this would be a great way to educate people in a company about how the company started. Because if the founders are not that much different than you, Well, then you can identify with the founders.
But does this exist, this platform of business audio theater, or audio theater, does this exist for traditional books, and you guys are the first business book to employ this?
That's correct.
Okay. So yeah. So it is out there. I didn't really even know about it.
Well, it's out there for fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. But
with a full cast.
Full cast,
but,
right.
But not for business.
Not
this
for business.
This is the first time it's been applied to business.
That's exciting. I mean, you guys are really pushing the envelope. You're doing something. Maybe this is the future. Maybe our future episodes will be business audio theater. I love it because it's a production, right?
Absolutely. It's a full production.
You've Ed Asner in this? You have some big-time names.
The guy's 90 years old.
That's incredible. How did you get him?
He was part of this ensemble that we were talking to in Los Angeles.
Sherwood Players.
And Matt Weinglass, of all names, says,
would you like
to have Ed Asner playing the snarky supermarket buyer who throws you out, but then ultimately opens the door for Barefoot success, right? Yeah. Because as he's kicking you out the door, he's telling you what's wrong with it. And if you're smart enough to remember it or take notes, then you know what's right with it.
Right.
And so he was perfect for this part because he's grumpy and he's kind of fed up and snarky and sarcastic. So he said, you know, I'm 90, but, you know, I don't want to miss anything new. Yeah. And this is the latest thing.
To give everybody an idea of the scope of this, it's 7 hours long, right? This is a 7-hour theater production, and it's broken down into 10, 25, and 45-minute episodes.
That's correct.
Yes.
But I'm curious, I mean, all this huge cast involved, you created more voices than you had, or was this a book that had, you know, a need for this
it had
many different
conversation in the book?
Okay. I was curious, you know, what if you're someone who wants to do this, but there's only two characters and there's only two voices? You know, you guys made this into a huge production because you were able to.
We have script writers that can talk to founders and have them tell the script writer a story or two that exemplifies or demonstrates a point that they want to make to their employees.
Okay.
And, you know, basically,
that's the next step.
So, right.
So we can take it directly from the founder onto audio script, so we don't have to necessarily convert an existing book.
Because what you're trying to do with this is you're trying to create an onboarding tool.
That's
correct.
Right? So tell us about that, because you don't necessarily need a book to do that, right? You were saying onboarding, perhaps, you know, if you're a new employee at a company, you're trying to take your business audio theater at a company and they go through the new training process using this medium.
Well, when a new employee or even an existing employee understands what the concept was from the founder, what the principles were and all the challenges and what that founder had to overcome, they're more engaged.
Yeah.
And when they're more engaged, they work together as a team better. So you've got more team spirit, you've got more engagement, and they're going to be more inventive and more innovative because that's what the founder was. It also greatly reduces turnover. Turnover is the number one hidden cost of any business. So that's why we wanted to offer what we've learned and what we've already done to other founders, to preserve the founder's history and story.
I'm thinking if I was a new employee, I'd love to listen to something like this that's engaging and entertaining as opposed to just the flat, traditional new training. You know, a new hire training, let's say.
And you can hear it. You don't have to read it.
Yeah.
But you have to be stationary. You can't be doing anything else. But you can be riding on your bike or on the bus or changing your baby's diaper.
Yeah.
And you can hear it without it distracting you elsewhere.
So for anyone who's not familiar with your brand or your book, would you suggest they read the book or listen to the new audiobook?
Well, I would suggest they listen to the audiobook. It's very entertaining. They're gonna really love being immersed in this story.
Right. And you were saying, Bonnie, that the whole goal here with this business audio theater, this is about sort of increasing engagement at companies and reducing turnover. Is that right?
Exactly. Business audio theater can be used by any founders. And it can preserve their story. It can preserve their spirit. It can engage people. And we'd be happy to help.
Absolutely.
We've done it.
Right.
It's a one-time investment, you know, for many lifetimes worth of use.
Right.
You know, when people are hired, right, the cement is wet. You can move it with a trowel. when they've been there a few days, the cement gets hard and you need a jackhammer. So the question is, during that very tenuous period where you first meet the new employee, what do you tell them?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of conclusions do they draw about the expectations of the business, or, you know, what is the philosophy of the business?
Right. Yes.
And that's so important going forward, because it might be the difference between why the accounting people talk to the engineering people to make a sale happen or not.
Right, right.
See, so it really breaks down the barriers between the cells.
Yes. Yeah.
Because everybody goes, hey, we're all on the same team, we're all part of this. You know, founder, he started in his garage, he ran up his credit cards, you know.
Yeah. Right. And I think the point to be made is that you don't need to have a book or be an author to utilize business audio theater. You're saying this can be used by any company, any CEO, in terms of onboarding, training, new employees, just sort of telling a story, whether that be a company story, a personal story, and having a new way or a way to achieve it.
Right. We think that it creates engagement and appreciation. And when you're working for a company and you know that these people who started it, they're just like you. They ran out of money. They were overextended. You know, they didn't understand some of the problems they were up against, and then they had to cleverly solve these problems. You have more respect for them.
Yeah.
And you have more respect for the company.
Yeah.
Like Bonnie was saying, you know, you don't really need to have a book. We have a New York Times best-selling author who can work right with the founder and turn that directly into screenplay. And it doesn't have to be 7 hours long. You know, it can be 3 hours long, whatever. But we do like the idea of half-hour segments because of people's attention span and also commute time.
Right, right. So, but it's an alternative to training or whatever the onboarding process is for your particular company.
It's an addition.
And it's a one-time expense.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah,
and I did want to mention Audi Awards, right? You guys were finalists at the Audi Awards?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, that's why we're in New York.
Oh.
We're here because we were a finalist in the business and personal growth category from the Audiobook Producers Association.
Great.
And so they have like 1,300 applicants, and I think they have like 20 different categories. And in our category, there was only five. And so
five finalists.
And we were very happy to be one of them,
yeah.
Let me tell you, because we're independently produced, Footnotes Press. Nobody ever heard of it yet. But
they have now.
We're up against, you know, Macmillan and Harper
right.
and all those big boys. So for us to get even a nod was really important, and for us to actually win finalists was great.
It's an honor being nominated. Well, it's terrific, and it's unique, and it's something new and fresh and exciting. And I was so just thrilled to see something new. You know, you always wonder what the next big thing is going to be, and this is this is something. You're onto something. So
yes, thank you.
Wish you guys all the success in the world. What's next?
The next step for us is to make this onboarding tool available to the HR departments of the largest companies in the United States.
Well, congratulations again. It's exciting, and we can't wait to hear what comes next. If you'd like more information on the book and the audiobook, please check out our website. It's csuitebookclub.com, c-suitebookclub.com. I'm Taryn Winterbrill. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time right here on Bestseller TV.